app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Authorities in Utah today released photos of a person of interest in the killing of Charlie Kirk, but Anna Schechter reports they don't appear to have an ID and need the public's help.
Still so many questions. It appears to me that they're not sure which way he went. Our sources don't have any indication that they have a direction or that they're homing in on a specific area and closing in on a suspect.
The U.S. Marshals are now assisting the FBI in tracking the suspects. CBS's Andres Gutierrez has more.
Police say they found what they believe to be the murder weapon in a wooded area, a high-powered bolt-action rifle.
After the shooting, we were able to track his movements as he moved to the other side of the building, jumped off of the building, and fled off of the campus and into a neighborhood.
CBS News has learned Kirk's body will be flown on Air Force Two to his hometown in Arizona.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. Middle schoolers in Hayward were put on lockdown Tuesday because a student brought a weapon to school. That's according to reporting from the Sawyer County Record. The paper reports Superintendent Mark Berquist says someone reported a possible weapon on campus and administrators immediately contacted police. When authorities got there, they confirmed a student did indeed have a weapon, although they didn't say what type of weapon. The school was reportedly on a soft lockdown for about 20 minutes. Berquist says the student was removed from campus and will face disciplinary action, although he said he couldn't release any more information due to student privacy. And the opposition to a data center in Menominee is growing. A movement called Stop the Data Center has gotten bigger, reports WQOW. There's a Facebook page with more than 8,000 members. People have put signs in their yards, and there's even a billboard now, too. Menominee City Council member Matthew Crow told the station, quote, "The data center at this point is not coming at this time," end quote. But residents say they want more transparency from the city council. Last month, the city of Menominee released a fact sheet that said the data center would cost $1.2 billion to build and the construction would create 1,000 jobs. And police at UW-Eau Claire say keeping unlocked bikes out as bait has worked. Back in 2018, university police started equipping some bikes with GPS trackers. They're left unlocked around campus, ready for thieves to take the bait instead of stealing property from students. At orientation, students are told about the program, and they even get stickers for their own bikes that say this may be a bait bike with the police department's logo on it. Over the last 2.5 years, 24 bicycles have been stolen on campus, and more than half of them were the department's bait bikes. Police recommend students document their bike's serial number. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a 3-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. We haven't had too many of these in our, I know in the last 2 years, this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, patchy fog by dawn and lows in the mid-50s. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs warmer, low 80s. Slight storm chance Friday night, 80s continue with sunshine this weekend. Another storm chance Sunday night and Monday, currently at 75 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
This week, we sit down with Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District Chairman, Ken Sikora.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a very special episode for you today. We're broadcasting live from the Cactus Club here in South Milwaukee. Sorry, I'm working on just a small audio issue on my end. Here we go. Well, that'll work much better. We're here at the Cactus Club here on the near south side of Milwaukee, celebrating women and girls in music, specifically rock and roll. Really excited to be here. Again, big thanks to the Cactus Club for hosting us. That's just amazing to be here. And thanks very much to Girls and Ladies Rock. For this next segment, we're joined by Caitlin Taylor. She's a music therapist at Children's Wisconsin. We're going to talk about the absolutely redemptive qualities of music for each and every one of us, but especially kids in these tough times. Welcome, Caitlin, and thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you so much for having me on the show and be able to talk a little bit about music therapy.
So what is music therapy, and why is this a good idea for basically, well, everybody?
Yes, so it is incredible for everybody, and everybody can benefit. I like to start off to say that music therapy benefits from infants in the womb all the way to end of life. So we try to support anybody and everybody that we can. Essentially, music therapy is the evidence-based use of music to reach non-musical goals. And through that is we are developing a therapeutic relationship with our patient or client with a board-certified music therapist. So that is kind of the rough definition of music therapy.
So does music therapy require you to be a musician, or is it just listening? Is it both? Tell us a little bit more about what it actually looks like in practice.
Yeah, absolutely. So to be a music therapist, it's a four-year undergraduate degree, and you take practicum classes and then sit for your board exams after a six-month internship. So quality musicianship skills are highly needed to become a music therapist. But the great thing for people who are participating in music therapy, they don't need to be musicians at all, because it really just depends on what goals we're working on. So we kind of work in different domains. So we can work with cognition, communication, emotional, physical, social. It really depends on what we are working on, and that is individualized to the person or individualized to the group that we are leading. And it can look a lot of different ways. So I could go on deep rabbit hole, but I'll try to keep it as vague or as general as possible. But it could look at like an active music session where we are creating music, playing instruments, doing hands-on, maybe doing some drumming, maybe doing some singing or songwriting. Maybe it's a little bit more passive and we're working on lyric analysis to be able to focus in on sharing how we relate to music. Because sometimes it could be really challenging to talk about our emotions specifically, but if we have those lyrics in front of us, that's just another little bit of a barrier. And it's not us feeling like we're truly using our words to kind of communicate how we're kind of feeling in a moment.
I'm sure everybody listening is like, yes, I remember that time I broke up or was in a really hard time, and there were these three tracks that just got stuck in my head because that was what I was going through. That's kind of what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we all kind of connect with music in different ways. And we all listen to music, different types of music, depending on what our emotions are. Sometimes when I'm feeling sad, I like to listen to like slower sad music, whereas other people might like to listen to something a little bit upbeat and uptuned to get their feelings a little bit different. So that's why I really like music therapy, because in our sessions, we really try to tailor it to who we're working with so that we're able to use their preferred music, which is predictable, it's familiar, and it allows just a better connection in our sessions.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the more surprising applications or challenges that music therapy can be used for. For example, I've heard it discussed that music therapy can often be of a great benefit to folks on the autism spectrum. Can you tell us a little bit about that and some other maybe more surprising therapeutic purposes for music therapy?
Yeah, of course. So I used to work before I came to Children's with a lot of clients with autism and different developmental delays. And it can be really helpful because it provides a non-verbal way. Because sometimes, you know, with autism, we're non-speaking or have communication in a different way. So music provides that structure and that way to kind of communicate and make sense of the world and find different ways to really connect with others. So we work a lot on social skills, turn taking, improvising, whether it's a communication or physical gait, because I know some clients have trouble with like just tempo and regulating and physical abilities. In the hospital setting, one of the things that I really enjoy doing is working with patients who are kind of elevated or irritable. Maybe they are intubated, so they have a tube down their throat to kind of help them breathe, and they are limited to amount of pain medications or amount of medications that kind of help regulate their emotions and kind of their physiological functioning. So a lot of the times we'll come in and we will play music that has been established to be effective for them, whether it's something very familiar, something calming. And what we like to do is we like to do this thing called the ISO principle, where we entrain or connect the tempo of the music to the patient's heart rate or their respiratory rate, and we match that maybe on the guitar or the piano, and then through a course of sequences we start to gradually slow that music down, so then they're able to regulate their heart rate, and that has helped significantly with patients who aren't able to take additional medications for that. And just to see the kind of that physical response to what we're doing is always incredible to see.
Folks, if you're just joining us, my special guest for this segment is Caitlin Taylor. She's a music therapist at Children's Wisconsin. This is part of a special episode of the Maggie Dawn's show, stepping away from politics just for a wee bit. All of the parade of horrors will be there for us tomorrow, just as it ever was. And today we're celebrating music, especially women and girls in music. We're partnering with the Cactus Club here on the near south side of Milwaukee, who's hosting us this afternoon, as well as Girls and Ladies Rock. Caitlin's helping us understand the many, many ways that music enriches our lives here in a therapeutic capacity. Caitlin, do you have a particular moment in your life where music was so transformative for you that it set you on the path to become a music therapist?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can't say that I had like an actual music piece for sure or music experience, but I did go to school for pre-med. So I always wanted to do environment or medical setting at least. And then during my course there, I was just like, I don't know what I wanted to do. I was, you know, minoring in music at the time, and then I found the documentary 2020 with Gabby Giffords, and she was the congresswoman that had been shot. In that documentary, she was talking about music therapy and how it was able to help get her speech back and help with memory and more of that cognition. And so I looked a little bit more into that, and I was like, wow, this implements everything that I kind of want out of life, using music to be helpful to others. So that was incredible. So once I found that, then I set my sights on music therapy, and I have been very ecstatic that I've been able to call this my job. But that's kind of how I got into music therapy.
That's an incredible story, Kayla, including Congresswoman Giffords. That's how that was inspiring, how in the rehabilitation context, occupationally and speech therapy, that music therapy could also be deployed. Caitlin, we're going to ask you to hop out of the StreamYard and back in. So close out your window. Come right back to us. We're getting a little crackle. We're hopeful that that will help solve the problem. So go ahead and do that, Caitlin. Caitlin will be right back with us. In the meanwhile, I did want to take this chance, since we don't have Caitlin, I'm going to tell you about you, each and every one of you, about one of the times in my life where I wept like a baby because of the music. If you have been listening to me for some time, you know that I was a classically trained violinist who went on to play jazz and Irish fiddle and sit in with some bands over my time. I was also part of the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra back in the day. Well, as a junior in high school, Maiso was excited to play at Carnegie Hall. So I was on the Carnegie Hall stage when I was a mere 17 years old. And as they say, if you haven't played it, you haven't quite made it. I don't know if that's quite true, but it does take practice, practice, practice. So there I found myself on the stage of Carnegie Hall playing with the Youth Symphony, and our closing number that afternoon. And the next orchestra up was the New Jersey Youth Symphony Orchestra. The last piece that we played was Stravinsky's Firebird. And the end of that was such an amazing train coming in to the station, pounding. It's these massive chords. And I was sitting third chair, and I looked up to our music director, Marjorie Deutsch, and she was weeping as she conducted us. And as I was playing these last massive chords in this incredibly powerful orchestral number, I too started crying, and so did the people around me. And we finished, and there was uproarious applause. And as we stood up and finally exited the stage, I think we might have played an encore. I can't remember. The brain kind of fritzed out after that. I remember Marjorie, who happened to be walking next to me, looked over at me and said, "New Jersey, follow that." I would like to say that the little old Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra might have gotten the best of the New Jersey Youth Symphony back in the day. Welcome back, Caitlin Taylor. She's a music therapist for Children's Wisconsin. Perhaps the most important thing, Caitlin, where should people go if they want to get their kids into music therapy, think that it might be helpful for them, or if they themselves might think that music therapy might be helpful for them or their family?
Yeah, absolutely. Google search of music therapy on Google is always great to just start off, but to ensure that it is a board certified music therapist, I would recommend to go to the Certification Board of Music Therapists, so cbmt.org.com, one of those two, and then you can search in the area that you are to see if there are any music therapists that are around there, so that you are ensuring you are getting a qualified music therapist.
Yeah, qualified music therapist. That's important. That board certification matters, folks. Caitlin, if there was one message that you wanted to share with people about how, again, music can help enrich our lives and our physical and mental well-being, what would be your thing that you would like to share with our audience?
Yes, absolutely. So music is so phenomenal, and it is universal, and it reaches so many different parts of our brain, which is so great in using it in some of the most difficult times that we might be going going through. Music helps, you know, release dopamine. It can help counteract negative emotions. It can help be helpful for physiological regulation and regulate or starting that autonomic nervous system, which can help reduce cortisol levels. So even if it's listening to music, playing music, maybe getting into a jam band and just creating music with others to get out of that isolation and be able to kind of figure out some of this self-worth.
We've got to leave it there. Thank you so much, Caitlin Taylor. In a funk, turn up the funk. When we come back, we'll be joined by Middle Reader, because ladies rock here on the Civic Media.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a special episode for you today, live here at the Cactus Club of Milwaukee's Near South Side. Their doors open at 6. Be sure that you've gotten your butt into the Cactus Club at least once in your life. It is a Milwaukee institution. We're here with the executive director of Ladies Rock, Girls Rock, Mary Joy. Thank you so much for being here with us, Mary Joy. We've got the Ladies Rock version coming up next. Tell us about this band.
Yes, I'm so excited for everyone to hear Middle Reader, who are an alumni band from our 2025 Ladies Rock Session 1 that happened back in March. So they made their debut on the Radio Milwaukee stage back, I believe it was Sunday, March 22nd. And so now they're here gracing another Milwaukee stage here at Cactus Club.
Radio Milwaukee, that's just in Milwaukee. We're statewide here at Civic Media. And so with that, I want to introduce the women of Middle Reader. We've got on drums and vocals, Maya on synth and vocals, Erica and on bass, Shelly. And with that, take it away, Middle Reader.
Beautiful.
We must increase our bust. We must increase our bust. We must increase our bust. We must increase our bust.
With their song, I think you all know the title now, Judy Who. I am joined by Mary Jo Hickey. She's the executive director of Ladies and Girls Rock. We'll be joined by each member of Middle Reader on the other side of this next block. But that's a super fun song. You're a little bit younger than I am, Mary Jo. Everybody that was born in the few decades earlier know a little bit about what the We must increase our bust line was in that. I think a wee homage to Judy Blume, whose apparently books are being banned across the country. Again, I won't digress into politics. Your reaction to their I won't call it a set, their song, Judy Who. You've heard this before, Mary Jo?
I have, and it is just so special to get to see it again because I got to see it, you know, months ago at Ladies Rock, which is, you know, there's just a lot going on.
Yes.
And so it's so great to be here months later and to just see them playing it again and so strong, and I'm just so excited that they're here.
Absolutely. Tell folks where they can find out more about Girls and Ladies Rock. What's the website?
It's girlsrockmke.org, and also that's our social media handle, girlsrock@girlsrockmke.
girlsrock.org, girlsrock@mke. Check it out. We're going to be joined by the members of Middle Reader. We got Maya, Erica, and Shelley joining me up next. We're going to talk a little Judy Blume and a little bit rock and roll. I'm Maggie Dawn. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are working on education bills that would encourage school districts to consolidate, especially in rural areas, establish statewide standards on student discipline, and overhaul how teachers teach kids math. These bills aren't even drafted yet, so there weren't a ton of details available at a press conference this week. But Republicans in the Assembly focused heavily on districts with declining enrollment and declining funding. One of their big solutions is to encourage more districts to combine. There are more than 400 of them across Wisconsin, and record numbers of them are going to referendum, asking residents to increase their own taxes just to keep the district afloat. Representative Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie.
Consolidation has long-term positive effects on both students and taxpayers. So we need to stop the cycle of never-ending referendums. Now, Democrats might argue that the solution is simply to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that there are just less kids being born today.
School advocates and administrators say declining enrollment isn't the problem. It's the formula itself and a lack of funding from lawmakers. State school aid has not kept up with inflation for more than a decade. Republicans' plans also include revamping the math curriculum and what they're calling a teacher's bill of rights, which they say would standardize discipline for students. They also want Wisconsin to opt in to a federal school choice program passed as part of President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill earlier this year. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer criticized Republicans' plans, saying, quote, Republicans' K-12 education plans won't address the challenges facing working families or give our kids the opportunities they deserve. We shouldn't be talking about consolidating districts. We should be investing in our local schools, end quote. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. You're listening to Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Sometimes we are better off as moviegoers when there are no huge blockbusters being released. True movie fans can take advantage of the variety that becomes available in theaters post-summer, and such is the case this weekend. This week's openers are headlined by Downton Abbey, the grand finale. The Crowley family finds themselves at the center of a public scandal as they move into the 1930s. I never really watched the show, so I don't have much of an opinion, but the film has a built-in fan base and a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're looking for something that is the exact opposite, check out The Long Walk, a thriller based on Stephen King's first novel. The film tells the story of a group of teenage boys taking part in a contest where they must maintain a certain walking speed or they get shot. Not for those seeking whimsy, but it is pulling a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. And finally, the wait is over as the sequel to Spinal Tap, Spinal Tap 2, hits the big screen. No reviews are in, but none needed. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, patchy fog by dawn and lows in the mid-50s. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs warmer, low 80s. Slight storm chance Friday night, 80s continue with sunshine this weekend. Another storm chance Sunday night and Monday, currently at 75 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, federal cuts are threatening food share programs across the country, but one county in Wisconsin is working to keep them alive. Wisconsin Watch journalist Bennett Goldstein is our guest. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
When great ladies bands join me here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. They sing better than I do, thank God. We're doing a special episode of the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. We've got to take a break from the politics every once in a while. Don't worry, all the Parade of Horribles will be back tomorrow, and I will be discussing as I do always. Right now, I'm super excited to be joined by a couple of the members of Middle Reader. We'll be joined by the third member. We'll talk about the member in absentia. We'll be joined by one of the board members for Girls and Ladies Rock. So excited, so don't go anywhere. Right now, Maya, drums and vocals. Welcome to the show, Maya.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So other than being a kick butt drummer and doing vocals when your lead singer is in absentia, what else do you do for fun and for a living and whatever else you'd like to share?
I'm a writer.
And I'm mostly a dance mom.
You're a dance, right? So the arts of all kind, the performing yes. arts, the written arts. Yes. What do you write, Maya?
I come out of journalism. I had a content consultancy for a number of years. And now I am just writing whatever I want to write. I actually, if you're a literary agent, hit me up. I have a young adult novel that you might want to read.
Oh my gosh. Can you, we have to talk after. Okay. Because I've got like a half-written book. I would love to pick your brain about it. I know some wild stories about government going back a few years. Anywho, enough about me. We also have with us Shelley playing the bass.
Yes.
Hi, Shelley.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's so great to have you. First of all, very cool T-shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Love that. Shelley, why the bass? And you sounded very good.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Growing up, I've been to shows since I was 14 years old, seeing live music in the DIY punk scene, but I was always afraid to do it. Mm. And like, cause it was a kind of a boys town then. So I was always afraid to pick it up, being insecure. And at 48, I was like, you know, I've been a mom for 30 years. They're about to be an empty nester. Like, it's time for me. So I signed up for Ladies Rock and
here you are.
It's magic, yeah.
I have always thought that there is something distinctly like feminine, stick with me here, about punk rock. Because when women get real fired up and things need to get done, and if there was ever a demo, including black and brown folks in the LGBTQ community that needed to break stuff, it's women as well. So I totally love the affinity for punk. And of course, I want to ask you as well, Maya, why the drums?
So I grew up playing music. I was a Suzuki baby. I'm also a violinist. And then
we could riff on Suzuki. Yes.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Called deprogramming together, maybe.
Decolting. Yes.
And then I'm also a classically trained oboist, and grew up in a very musical house, but my brother was the one who always kind of did rock bands, and that was kind of his thing. And then after around the time I turned 40, I started looking at things that I'd always wanted to do and going, why, you know, we have this sort of like, I think as a society, we kind of go, oh, well, being a kid is when you try new things, and then when you're adult, you know what your things are.
Yeah.
But I was raised by parents who were always trying new things, so I was like, okay, aerial yoga, yeah, I'm going to do it. Drum lessons, I'm going to do it. Like, all the things that I kind of always wanted to try, I was like, why would I not do that? Let's do it.
I personally, one of the most incredible moments in my life have been learning and doing new things as an adult, because I have this, like, deep appreciation for doing something that's new. I didn't learn how to downhill ski, this is apropos of nothing, until I was like 19 years old. And I remember like flying down the mountain finally and turning to my friend and being like, this is so much fun, I can't believe it's legal, right? Like, I could not believe how much fun. And it was, I'm sure Donald Trump will kill that fun too. Anyways, how did you come to find Ladies Rock, and how long have you been involved in Ladies Rock? Go ahead first, Maya.
So I actually was looking for camps for my daughter and stumbled on Girls Rock, and then immediately was like, oh, they have an adult program. Never mind. You can do something else. Mama's going to do
this. Mom took this? All right, Mom. Maya, take it some for you.
So I've been playing drums for a couple of years, but I had not played with a band.
Okay.
And so I really was like, I want to take this sort of like basic skill set that I have and bring it, collaborate with some other people. So in March, I signed up for Ladies Rock.
Yes, you were the first camp for Ladies Rock this 2025 season. So you all have just been playing together since then, since March?
Yeah. We didn't know each other before that.
Oh, well, kudos. All of these literary geniuses coming together. Because, Shelley, I understand you also have a literary connection. Tell us.
I'm a co-owner of Lion's Tooth Bookstore, a few blocks down the street in Bayview, where we specialize in alternative graphic novels, radical nonfiction, and self-published zines.
Oh,
which,
cool.
Taking it back to the DIY punk scene,
yes,
like,
so
being
90s.
Able to self-publish, and
yes.
All you need is a copy machine and a stapler, and you can be published.
I mean, Shelley, I was just saying to some folks the other day, I was like, man, we're going to end up pamphleting with what he's doing with the legacy media. I mean, like, mm-hmm. This is where a lot of that came from. I mean, dubbed tapes. Okay, my fun question for each one of you, I'll start with you, Maya. I'm going to give you a minute to marinate on this one, Shelley, given your punk affinities. Do you have a favorite booth bootleg from when you were growing up?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay. Like, this was the thing, right? Like, I still have Case Logics full of CDs and tapes. Anywho, okay, favorite bootleg.
The summer of, I think, 1990, the Blonde Ambition Tour, my best friend Blair taped one of the broadcasts off the radio for me, and we listened to that tape so much, was terrible. It didn't matter. Cool.
I always promised myself I would never be one of those radio people that, like, talk all over the lyrics. No, I just sing over them and ruin it that way. What about you, Shelley? Favorite bootleg?
I remember being a kid and having a boombox and listening to the radio and sitting there waiting because the announcer would say that the song's going to be on, and of course it wasn't for like 3 or 4 songs.
We call that the tease.
Yep, and then hitting record really quick and making mixtapes that way. And
hell
now
yeah.
I'm a DJ on WMSE. I have a radio show on
WMSE. Oh my gosh. Well, listen, you are more than welcome to come back onto this program, and we shall talk about tunes a little bit and listen to some tunes, maybe introduce folk to some punk that they might not have heard of. Thank you both. I'm going to call in our next two guests. Big thanks to both Maya from drums and vocals and Shelley, who is playing the bass, slapping the bass. They are both members of, I want to get this right, Middle Reader. They're one of the ladies rock bands put together in the first ladies rock camp of 2025 back in March. They just met in March. Now I'm going to be joined by Erica hitting the synth and the vocals
I know, it's very exciting.
Well done.
I'm not a vocalist. I'm a yeller. I'm on yelling.
Well, listen, punk may be your final calling. Who knows? Maybe a little death metal.
100%.
You give me very big death metal vibes. And folks, if you're not watching us online, you should be. Check out Civic Media's YouTube channel and my socials at Maggie Dawn Show on the Insta, the Facebook, and the X thing. And welcome, board member for Girls Rock. It is Dee Kirschling. You're like the alumni of alumni when it comes to ladies rock. My salutes to you. You are the VP of their board. You were in the first ladies rock class, I guess I should say. You're a former band coach at the camps. I hear you do well with snacks and dioramas. What don't you do, Dee?
There's nothing I won't do for this organization, I'll tell you that.
I love that. Tell folks why they should be interested in giving to and getting involved with Girls and Ladies Rock.
You know, I think especially with our adult programs, as we get older, our worlds get a little smaller, and we tell ourselves that we can't do things, we can't try new things. We're often mothers, we're very often caregivers, and we push a lot of ourselves aside in favor of a next generation or a greater goal. And to me, I want us all, everyone in the world, to break free of that and to make time for themselves and to think, you know what, I am going to try something new. And that's just really the cornerstone of my involvement in this program, was trying to get more people to try something new and challenge themselves.
I love that. And I keep telling all my female friends, I think we're all kind of in this middle age where we may be hitting burnout. It's like, it's the air mask. What do they tell you on the airplane? Like, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your seatmate. I think we all are due for a bit of that. I have a philosopher to my left. I'm sure you could explain more about that, Erica. Tell us how you got interested in ladies rock. As a philosopher, was there some deep aha moment that happened?
There was more like a deep oh God moment, which is, you know, I teach political philosophy. I research democracy, and in March of this year, I couldn't handle much. And so I was actually a latecomer to Ladies Rock. And so there, like, you know, someone dropped out and I was able to do it. And the only thing available was keyboards. And so that's really what brought me both to the keyboards and to Ladies Rock, was just a need to, you know, just do something different. And it's been amazing.
You're literally the example of what I was talking about with music therapist Caitlin Taylor in an earlier segment. Has it been affirming and fulfilling for you? Has it helped you feel whole as much as we can in these times?
Totally. I mean, on a couple of different ways. Like, I think there's something about music and the brain that changes your outlook. And I think there's also something like, I mean, I'm like a middle-aged adult. Like, we are not encouraged to use our voice, to be ourselves, to take up space in our professional lives. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, get things done, get it together, make it happen is what we're supposed to do. And like, it's hard to be a human. in that place. And like, we're all under so much stress with Trump, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're all under so much additional stress and seeing our neighbors like get picked up by ICE and all of this like nonsense that like this pressure, it gets to be too much. And to have a space where your brain just is like, oh shoot, I need to dance now. And like,
hell yeah.
And seeing other people that are like, oh my gosh, like those people are my age and they're dancing also. And then, you know, people like, you know, Dee and Mary Joy, they're so incredible. I mean, you know, we wrote that song in 3 days, like 2 days really. And like, they're so good at like inspiring people in a really short period of time. And so like to have this moment where you have like two full days of just like, be as inspired as you can be together really fast with a bunch of strangers who are very cool and also kind of burnt out. Like, it's a really, hence we have this song about perimenopause.
Yes. Hi, friends. I know nothing about that. Everything. Do you have the little bedside fans? I mean, I got bedside fans, the one leg out, the window and the AC. Yes, all of the things. Oh, those mood swings are good fun. Sorry. I bet it makes for good music. Yeah. You're plugging into something that I frequently try to talk about on the show in these moments, and that is the concept of sharing and trying to be in community for moments of like unlimited, unedited joy and togetherness. I have been brought to like weeping tears when I have been able to get there in these dark times to feel a sense of community, of connection. And I really hope that everybody that's listening, that if you can find those opportunities in your day-to-day life, maybe it might involve trying something new and finding a new community and a new space. But unless you take that effort, maybe make yourself a little vulnerable, it's not there. And also, I'll just say this, to express rage unedited. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about feminist political philosophy, we could talk about female rage for a long time. And I love music as outlet for that. Dee, tell folks where they can find out more about Girls and Ladies Who Rock.
So you're going to go to girlsrockmke.org. There's information there about both our programs for children and for adults. Also, we're on social media at girlsrockmke.
girlsrockmke.org. When I come back, I will be joined by the current executive director of Girls Rock. She herself has a master's degree in music education. She's Mary Joy Hickey. She's the executive director of Girls Rock. We'll be back with some closing thoughts from Mary Joy. Thank you so much. I want to be a middle reader, don't you? Amazing. Judy Who, amazing, amazing song. Thank you both so much. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone.
If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hard to give women some space to rock out, to give girls some space to rock out and be themselves, not in this organization. Folks, if you've been with us for the entire program, it's been a special installment of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been celebrating women in music, specifically with and through an organization called Girls Rock. You can find out more about it at girlsrockmke.org. Again, that's girlsrockmke.org. We first heard this afternoon from the band Concentration 64, absolutely killing it. And we just heard from and spoke with the members of the band Middle Reader. Those literate ladies sure do have a sense of humor, pun intended, all around. We're now joined for our last segment of the day by Mary Joy Hickey. She's the executive director of Girls Rock and Ladies Rock. Mary Joy, we've got to just correct the record. She doesn't have a master's degree in music education. She has a master's degree in, must check notes to get this exactly right, student affairs in higher education. Though an honorary degree in music ed sure does seem appropriate. Mary Joy, thanks again for being here with me.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having us. This has been so fun. It's flown by.
Yes, we're going to do this again to help celebrate your organization every year. If I'm around, this is just such good fun. Let me take care of some business. The ladies from Middle Reader wanted to acknowledge their fourth bandmate who couldn't be here today. Abby, we cannot wait to have you the next time around. She also is involved in books and is real smart, too. So all four of Middle Readers are excellent readers, not Middle Readers at all. Also want to take care of my thanks to Casper, Max, Dex, Jacob, all helping make this come to you over the airwaves. And, of course, my senior producer, Jamie, for making all of the logistics happen. If I had to do it, my head would levitate. Mary Jo, what does being involved with this organization mean to you? And this is not your full-time gig. How do you make time for this?
This actually is my full-time gig.
It is your full-time gig.
Yes. Yeah, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
I was graduating from my master's program looking for jobs, and I've been a volunteer with Girls Rock Milwaukee and yes. Ladies Rock for many years. And then just an opening came up. I'm the first executive director that this organization's
formally,
ever had.
Formally, that's amazing. So this is a recent development, the ED role.
Yeah, since April of 2024.
That's great.
I just finished my second camp season. But yeah, this is a full-time thing. And for me, it is very much like along my thread, you know, my life thread of music just always being my thing, just always being this like compelling calling. And you know, I play in punk and hardcore bands, and as I'm a mother myself, and I'm in my, you know, late 30s, and you kind of reach this existential point of like, what am I still doing with this? It like, does it have to do something? And it can I don't know. There's so many reasons why you could, you know, excuses I could have made over the years to stop doing music or to give it up or, you know, prioritize other more pressing things at the time. But I've really realized that creating that space for myself as a musician, as an artist, is the most authentic path for me. And in following that, I found myself here. And so I have the opportunity to create that for other people, that you can do things that are aligned with you, that you can create your own meaning for your life. You have to listen to all the messages about what you should do or should not do.
Right.
You can create, you can express. So it does, it feels like a dream come true almost. Like it makes just so much sense for if you look back on 15-year-old Mary Joy in her bedroom strumming her guitar, trying to write songs for her new punk band. I mean, it's just to be here is truly a gift.
It's amazing doing any work that is value aligned to you and truly has meaning is transformative. Even when the work is very challenging, I'm so glad for Girls Rock that they've gotten a dedicated full-time executive director. It makes such a difference. I know so many people that do work in music for kids and for people just entering into instrument playing or singing or performing arts, unpaid, and it's like a full-time job even when they have one. So I'm so glad that you get to do this dream job, Mary Joy.
Yes,
so I want to end with, what is there one or two very especially clear music memories for you when it was really, whether it was just, hey, I had the best set of my life with my band and it was like this moment, or a concert that you just had those really kismet feeling of connection with the audience and the band? What are some of your top memories?
Gosh, I describe this moment as like my origin story, I guess.
I love it.
So in high school, I started a new band. We were called Nobody's Housewife. And we...
You did. Whoa, I love it.
It was before like Nobody's Housewives or what the TV show.
Before the word was just forever blasphemed. Yes, okay.
Yes, yes. And we wrote a song and our plan was to play at the Battle of the Bands for high school. And then that year, our... principal decided that Battle of the Bands brought the wrong kind of crowd, and so she canceled it. And so my band, we got really like angry about that, and we decided, well, we'll just make our own Battle of the Bands. And so we made it a benefit for the Boys and Girls Club in Stevens Point, and we booked a venue downtown, and it was all happened on my 17th birthday. And so that's when I played my first show with my band. And I just remember, we got third place, which was just incredible. We played, like, three covers. We had one original song called Brown Squirrel, you know, very deep
very
content.
Deep.
But I just remember feeling so celebrated and just connected to a community and to a purpose. And so I realized that, you know, I can step into leadership in music and make things happen. And it was a very empowering moment for me. And I think when I think about what I'm doing now, that moment comes back to me a lot.
Fight the power, fight the man, just like Mary Joy did when she was a 17-year-old, wanted to make a band. She did it, wanted to be in a Battle of the Bands. She did it and raised money for the Boys and Girls Club. Boy, if we all took a page out of Mary Joy's book, the world would be a much happier place. I celebrate Mary Joy, Maya, Erica, Abby, Dee. I want to get everybody in here. Oh, all of the leaders from Middle Reader and Concentration 24. Let me be sure I get their names in here
64.
Quick. Concentration 64. Scout, Feliz, Ember, Elia, and Ellis. Is that the last member? Great, we got it in. Thanks for being here. I'm Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Federal law enforcement officials believe they have identified the person of interest in the killing of Charlie Kirk. CBS's Anna Schechter.
I will caution everybody. They still say they do not have a suspect in custody. And I've been covering these kinds of manhunts for a long time. Sometimes they get a name and it turns out to be not the right person. But at least this shows that they are making headway.
Earlier, authorities released photos of the person, a young man in dark clothing wearing sunglasses, and the FBI offered a reward to help identify him. CBS's Andres Gutierrez.
200 tips from the public. The FBI underscoring also that they have that $100,000 reward for anyone who may recognize those surveillance images of the person that they